Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Richard, I want to start with Grayson Wilson, the 2025 quarterback from CAC Central Arkansas Christian. He was in town this weekend. You got a chance to catch up with him. What were those conversations like, and what did you learn about his weekend?
Another in person and interact and learn more about his offense. I think that was the main takeaway for Grayson to kind of get it up to date on, exactly what Coach Petrino likes to do with his quarterbacks. And just talking to him, you could tell he was very impressed and obviously he's, very, very sold on Arkansas. He's one guy that you don't ever have to worry about. As far as his commitment, he's all Razorback. He's not one of these high drama guys or anything like that. He's all about business, and business to him is he's going to be a Razorback, and he's looking forward to getting on campus.
What about Tay Lockett, California kid, Arkansas connection? I would say a good chunk of our audience is not familiar with him, and kind of a few sentences. What can you tell us about one of the other Arkansas commits?
He had about 40 offers when he committed to Arkansas back in August. And he's got Arkansas ties. His mom's from Arkansas. He's got a lot of family in Arkansas. And I think besides what attracted him to Arkansas, I think also. Yeah, having family in Arkansas and say, when he gets on campus, he ever needs anything, he's got plenty of family here that will, help him get whatever he needs or, accommodate him in any way. If he can't get back to California where he's from, he's got places to stay in Arkansas for a weekend or whatever. He's in Arkansas a lot, for family reasons, but guys, good size, 6 foot, about 170. Led the team, led St. Bosco's team in interceptions with 5 this past year as a sophomore, which is quite impressive. and they played up played against some stiff competition, but a very talented team, and he led them in the interceptions. But a guy could go just about anywhere in the country, but he chose to be a Razorback because of the coaches, and just felt at home every time he came.
Richard Davenport with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Richard, I know it, we're focused on the here and now, but 2027 prospect at receiver and defensive back Tavius Ellis from Texas, who has Arkansas ties, got an offer this week from the Razorbacks. Tell us more about Ellis and this commitment that's or this offer that's out there a couple years from now.
Yeah, obviously 2027. He's a freshman this past season, but he had like 36 receptions for 719 yards and 7 touchdowns as a freshman. And if you look at his film, he doesn't look like a freshman. He will be, and there's no doubt in my mind, he will be one of the top prospects in the country come his senior year. I mean, he ran a 10.9 100 meters as an eighth grader. And he's originally from Magnolia, so obviously, yeah, he was pretty excited about his offer from Coach Pittman. And he still has family in Magnolia, so I think that's a plus. He says he wants to visit Arkansas pretty soon, but good size. About he's also about 6 foot, about 170 or whatever as a freshman, and he will only continue to get bigger and stronger and faster. But this guy will be—he's already special right now, but he will be one of the top prospects in the country in the 27 class. I have no doubt about it.
I saw where they'd had a couple of junior days here in January where they had high school juniors in. Did I see where they added a third, and kind of what's come out of the first couple of ones?
They've had about 20 to 30 guys each Saturday, the previous two Saturdays. And they've had, I would say, 5 to 6, 7, 8 guys that had offers visit, which is pretty impressive. And I think this weekend is going to be even better from what I can tell and just the early list that I've confirmed. One, Colton Yarborough, 2026 defensive end from Oklahoma. He'll be in town, and he's a 4-star guy. Rated one of the better defensive linemen in the country, and this would be his third visit coming up on Saturday. And he and Deke Adams has really developed a good relationship. That was one of the main reasons why he wants to visit. But then you got Grant Smith, a highly touted quarterback from Texas. He'll be coming in. He had an offer from Texas A&M when Coach Petrino was there, and Coach Petrino offered once he got to Fayetteville. And 6'3", about 206 pounds. Very excited about getting to Arkansas and checking it out, and continuing his relationship with Coach Petrino. They got a pretty tight relationship in talking to him. So that relationship's strong, and I sense a special relationship, not just a good relationship, one that they really. I don't know. There's a strong connection there, and I think that could obviously bode well going in the future. But there's an impressive list of guys, and there's a 26th quarter, another quarterback coming in this weekend too from Florida that has an offer from Arkansas too, Michael Clayton. So just a few guys that are coming in this weekend.
Richard Davenport is our guest on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. A few basketball questions for you. Eric Musselman talked about the incoming recruits, Jalen Shelley and Isaiah Elohim. I think I'm saying his name right. Two guys, big, 6'5", 6'8", kind of shooting guard, shooting forward. What can you tell us about the guys from Link Prep and Sierra Nevada?
Well, you said it. Coach Petrino likes those guys at guards and small forward is with a lot of length, and both of them have a lot of length. And Isaiah was a 5-star prospect about a year ago before he got hurt. He was like one of the top 5 prospects in the country, and he hurt his knee, and he wasn't able to play much in the AAU circuit, and that kind of hurt his stock. So he's a guy that obviously, from an athletic standpoint and his game standpoint, it has a high, very high ceiling. It just, I think Arkansas probably got a steal in him just because of what he was touted about a year ago, and obviously he's a four star right now, but he's not the the guy that you know, is a five star that he was as a junior. So he's obviously very, very talented and extremely athletic. And then Shelley's he's another guy that can score in and inside and outside and go to the basket very strong. And both of them probably need to work on their outside. I mean, on a three point shot, but if they perfect the 3-point shot or just get in the 35% to 40% range, I think that only enhances their skill set and their game.
Richard, this text comes from Big Mike from Waldron on the McCarty Dana Hotline, asking about, did Must do a good enough job evaluating the guys he brought in the portal on defense? That's been a huge struggle for them this year. I know it's a little harder to do it in a shorter time period than the kids of high school, but do you think that's an element that this coaching staff may have missed on, is the defensive aspects of the guys they brought in?
It might have been. I think a lot of it has to do with just want to and desire to put forth effort. Sometimes that's the most surprising thing with this group is the effort and the energy level. And what blows me away is that most of these guys, obviously, they're wanting to go to the NBA, and what they're putting forth is not very impressive as far as their play, their production, and their energy level and desire to D up. And that's only going to hurt them, as far as their professional desires. So I think that's the biggest thing that really surprises me is when it comes down to just effort and them not not putting it on the line.
Yeah. Richard, another question from the text line, the McLarty Daniel text line. Woo-Peak Suey for life won that. No, what's happening right now with the recruitment of the Archer brothers? Talking about Kane and Cash from Greenwood. Any new tidbits? I saw where Kane had his 16th birthday. It's hard. It seems like we've been talking about this kid for 3 or 4 years now, and he just had his 16th birthday this week.
Yeah, obviously he still has an offer from Arkansas. And I think with Cash, the thing with him is, you know, he's played on the edge and a defensive end. You don't see too many defensive ends in high Division I football, you know, at his size. And I think that Arkansas and I think a lot of other schools want to see him at linebacker. Mm. And I think he's very, very capable of playing linebacker. And I think once he gets to some college campuses for summer camps and shows what he can do at linebacker, I think that's when you're probably going to see his recruitment take off. He already has some good offers right now, but I think most people probably see him as a linebacker on the next level, and they just want to see how he is, in person. And obviously, I think from what I understand, he's going to play linebacker this coming season, and I think that's going to help him. So I think that's the hold up with Cash as far as just other schools in Arkansas going forward on him, but I think that's the deal there. But with Kane, everybody in the country wants him basically, and it's going to continue to be that way.
Is height ever going to be an issue with him? I've heard some question that. What's his true height? Looking at a picture I just saw online that his dad had posted this week, him and his brother. Of course, Cash got that big fro hairdo, so it's kind of sometimes hard to tell his height, but they didn't look far off from each other. Is height the concern you hear from any college coaches about him? And I guess we're all waiting to see if he grows another inch or two.
You know, I think has been an issue for a lot of quarterbacks, but not as much so anymore because you see all the smaller quarterbacks perform well on the college level and win Heisman trophies and go on to the NFL, and they're anywhere from 5'11", maybe 6'1". He's every bit of 6 foot, 6'1". Will he continue to grow? I'm sure that would help, but I think production at quarterback is the main key, and he obviously has that. I think college coaches don't look at the height as much as they used to. Some coaches still are hung up on, height and weight of certain kids at certain positions, and I get that. But I think at quarterback, it's less and less nowadays.
How you feel about the game tonight?
Well, you know, hey, let's just face it. It's hard to be optimistic with the way the team is playing and the lack of defense and lack of effort. But at the same time, with Muss and the staff, sometimes maybe they can pull a rabbit out of their hat and pull a home a road victory at a very tough place with a very, very tough, well coached team at Ole Miss. Beard is definitely one of the best coaches in the country. So I think it's going to be a tall task. But we've seen this team make. And we've seen this team play at a high level at times this season. Can they do it on the road, especially after kind of not playing so well the last few times? We'll see.
All right, Richard, appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next week and see what's the latest when it comes to recruiting.
All right, buddy. We'll see you guys. All right.
Another text to get to on the McCarty Daniel Hotline from Dennis in Springdale, kind of alluding to what we were talking about. Buried somewhere in that mess is the same team that beat Duke and Purdue. Now, that is a belief that not many of you have to this point, and I don't blame you. Both those games being at home, Arkansas has yet to win a road game. Haven't had a lot of opportunities, and this is not the most hostile place you'll walk into. I think Tuscaloosa and Lexington are going to be more daunting tasks. Luckily, you don't have to go to the jungle this year. You'd get, I think, obliterated if you walk back in there, but luckily you don't have to. And when you think about Ole Miss, again, not traditionally rich basketball program, but they do have a good head coach. Here's Eric Musselman on courtside with Eric Musselman earlier this week talking about the Rebels.
Coach Beard's done a great job, Chuck. He really has. I mean, they're tough-minded. They're physical. They got a lot of returning players. When you look at that front line of Brakefield's back, they got a lot of swing guys, Matthew Morrell back from last year's team, and then they added some really, really good transfers. When you look at Flanagan, a guy that's from the state of Arkansas who is just an incredible scorer, and he can play three or four different positions. So the versatility of Coach Beard's team is the one thing that stands out when you watch them play.
Yeah, Flanagan, again, Arkansas kid. His father is now on Chris Beard's staff in Oxford. You thought you were done with him. You're not. He had at points had some good games against you at Auburn, and now you got to deal with him tonight in the pavilion in Oxford, Mississippi.
Yep, and I think it could be hostile. I mean, I don't know whether you kind of compared it to Lexington. Lexington's usually not a hostile place when you go to Rupp. They're tough. I mean, it's hard to beat, but I think the pavilion down there could be loud and noisy. They're hyped up about their team. So I expect 8 o'clock tonight. A lot of the kids will be out. A lot of the students will be there. So I don't think this is going to be an easy place to waltz in and compete, much less win.
Do you think Ole Miss is able to retain Chris Beard if they get to the NCAA tournament year one? There could potentially be other big time. I had someone that I respect when it comes to Ole Miss knowledge that think he's going to take the Louisville job after this year. I just don't think, because I mean, outside of Marshall Henderson, can you name me three or four Ole Miss basketball players that just immediately pop in your head?
But that's why he's there, is to turn that around. Here's the one thing I'll say. He came in under very unusual circumstances, right? Ole Miss took a chance on him considering what he had going on in his personal life, the way it ended at Texas, that had nothing to do with basketball, right? Professional risk was taken from the school side. I think it'd be a crappy look for him to leave after such a short stint and jump on another job after they took the risk on him. Because that wasn't an easy sell to everyone in the administration. That probably wasn't the easiest sell to the board. They took a risk, and I, I, He needs to respect that to a degree. So whether he leaves or not, I have no idea. I'm just telling you from the outside looking in, he needs to hang out there a little while.
JT Notsprings brings up that Ole Miss is a tough and physical basketball team. Yeah, they are. They really embody what Chris Beard is.
But Arkansas isn't.
Yeah, yeah. That's against the clash of two different teams heading into tonight. He talked about, Musk talked about earlier this week, the most physical game that he's maybe ever been a part of was that round of 32 game in Indianapolis, Indiana. All right, so there's some odds right now on the Bet Saracen app. I would expect L. Ellis to get the start tonight. He's just listed at 4.5 points and 2.5 free throws, Tommy, at plus 250. So if he scores 5 points and knocks down 3 free throws, I mean, you got plus 250 odds. I would say that's a decent bet tonight. But then again, you never know with the rotation. Maybe we see Minifield start tonight. You just don't know.
Yeah, I would say you expect Ellis to start. I was getting ready to ask you, based on what?
That's fair. And that's a fair point, honestly.
Because previous game, if you're saying, well, the way the last game, I don't think that matters. And you've had an extra day of practice this week, and I think what happens in practice has a lot more bearing. Practice and matchups have more bearing on the starting five. I don't think they're married to much of the starting five at this point.
Tyler from Mountain View says, without Kiffin hit the portal, why would you want to leave that? I don't know, and Tyler, I could be wrong about this. I don't know if the same passion in Oxford and that Ole Miss fan base is transported to basketball as well. I know it's in football, and they've done a fantastic job. You got to give credit where credit's due. I hate that I'm doing it with Ole Miss, but they've done a great job in the portal and really adding money to the pot to get quality players out. Now, they lost one or two guys that were important for their team, but they definitely gained more than they lost. We'll see about Arkansas. I would say at this point, you'd probably say Arkansas's lost more than they've gained. Maybe it was something. We're going to get a chance to talk to Isaiah Satania about that coming up at 7:20 a little bit. But that is, do you see them, that fan base, putting that money in for basketball like they seemingly have for football?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have the feel, but you keep winning the way you're winning, get in the top 25, make a run at the SEC regular season title. You have the money. Money follows winning. Money always comes after winning. You know, and now winning sometimes is hiring the right coach, you know, and getting the fan base energized. You know, Arkansas had a little pop from hiring Petrino as the offensive coordinators, but that won't last. That's only a short-term solution to a long-term problem.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McCarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McCarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McCarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Hey, this is Arkansas wide receiver Isaiah Satania, and you're listening to the Morning Rush.
We've been telling you about the Miracles and Magic Radiothon that we partnered with Arkansas Children's Northwest, and we as a radio station are not the only ones that have partnered. Isaiah Satania, Arkansas wide receiver, former Fayetteville Purple Dog, by the way, got two of them in the NFC Championship game this weekend. We'll talk about that later, but you think about this involvement, man, and I know this is special to a lot of people in our community, not just in Northwest Arkansas, but across the state. Isaiah, what kind of led you to get involved with this whole event and fundraising process?
You know, I had the opportunity and, you know, I couldn't turn it down. Like, I love helping the community out and I wanted to use my platform to help other people out.
Is there anything that you went through personally in your life, or maybe you had a friend or something that was maybe involved in something like this?
I would just say, like, injuries. In sports, you're always going to have injuries. And, like, what are you going to do whenever you get injured? The game, like, especially football, it's so many injuries that you don't know when your last down is. So you have to be ready for that, and you have to have like a backup plan and just be ready.
I know for your freshman year, you kind of went through an ankle injury, and stuff like that just, like you said, happens sometimes. Obviously, there's certain medical defects, there's diseases and stuff, and then you've got the injury aspect. And so on. As a younger guy that's gone through something like that, how difficult is it on the psyche? And then for the kids that you maybe gotten to meet that are going through not necessarily injuries, but other personal matters of their health, what has those conversations been like?
So mental health is a real thing. And whenever I got injured my freshman year, it was actually in practice. And for a while, I was really down on myself. And, you know, I was feeling bad for myself. But I just had to flip the switch and I had to have the best mentality possible. I wasn't as fast as I was after I got hurt. And I had to build my speed back up. And it came slowly. But, you know, I just, whenever I flipped that switch and had a positive mentality about it, it really helped me.
Isaiah, was that your kind of first injury that you dealt with? There might have been nicks and bruises here and there, but would you say that's maybe the most severe thing you've had to go through as an athlete to this point?
Whenever I was younger, I had broke my arm a couple times, but okay. That was like more towards the end of the season. And whenever I hurt my ankle my freshman year, that was at the beginning of the season. So I never really got hurt at the beginning of the season like that.
We're talking with Isaiah Satania of Arkansas Children's Northwest. It's January, man. We got a long way till football season. I don't have the exact number of days in my head, but how excited are you to get back on that field? Not just that, but go through spring ball.
You know, right now we've been working out a lot. We've been doing some hard stuff, and I've just been thinking that whatever I do now, it's going to set me up for the season. The season's going to come faster than you think, and I'm just ready for it. Like, this year I feel like I'm going to take a big step forward and, you know, really show everybody my talent, because I feel like they haven't seen it yet.
We saw a little bit of a jump last season. I know there's been some changes in the offseason. So you go from Dan Enos to Kenny Guyton, and now Bobby Petrino is the new offensive coordinator. I don't know if former Arkansas wide receivers have reached out to you, but one of the things he's always utilized is speed. You have that. So how excited are you about, for this upcoming season, maybe becoming more of involved, like you said, and show people what you can do?
You know, whenever Bobby got hired, I had so many text messages, so many calls, and just so many people blowing up my phone. And, you know, it was really a blessing to just get one of the best offensive coordinators, offensive minds in the game. I can't wait to really trust in him and just see where he can take my game.
Part of being an athlete is these kids look up to you, right? I've seen
16 jerseys, just getting a chance to talk with these kids. But what's it like when you have a young kid that says, hey, I want to be Isaiah Cetania when I grow up, whether it was a Fayetteville Purple Dog that was 10 years old or an Arkansas fan that gets a chance to watch you on the field each and every week?
It's just a blessing. The Lord has really blessed me with my talent and stuff. And, you know, whenever kids look up to me, I just remember being in that same spot. So, you know, anytime I ask for a picture or autograph, I try and make it happen however I can. You know?
You're setting at least a good example in the classroom as well, because one of the things we kind of had to negotiate around this interview is your class time, which is good. You're not skipping class by that matter. So what classes are you taking this spring?
You know, I'm a communication major, but I've actually been thinking about switching it because I want to go into coaching. You know, my dad and my grandpa, they were both coaches, and, you know, it runs in the family. So I don't know if I want to do track, football, or kind of the conditioning side of it, but I think I want to end up going into coaching whenever I'm older.
Sounds like you've kind of narrowed it down to three. You could be the next Ben Souders. You mentioned your dad is obviously the track and field coach. Has it just been the playing aspect? You're like, this is what I want to do. What's kind of led to maybe you contemplating changing majors?
You know, in high school, especially my senior year, I did a lot of personal training, whether it was speed, whether somebody needed route running, or, you know, just hurdling. I feel like my knowledge is pretty versatile. So, you know, I would just try and help out kids as much as possible. And, you know, I really enjoyed it and stuff. And I just kept on seeing how the coaches coach. Like, I just observe it, and it's something that I really want to do.
We're talking with Isaiah Cetania here. Again, he's a part of Miracles and Magic Radiothon, benefiting Arkansas Children's Northwest. You can go to hitthatline.com right now and donate. It's up to February the 2nd, so make sure you do that if you haven't done it for the Morning Rush here, halftime, or Ruskin and Zach as well. I mentioned the two Purple Dogs, the AFC Championship. Now I know Dre's played a more prominent role. Brandon's still on the team, but has Coach Casey Dick reached out to you? Have you had any other former teammates? Like, dude, we got two guys.
You know, it's pretty cool that multiple people went to the same school that I did. And, you know, Dre went to Arkansas, and I'm following that same footstep. So, you know, that's obviously my goal, and I want to make it to the Super Bowl. And
that's the pinnacle of your profession, right? And based on what you're talking about, not that you don't want to pursue coaching after that, but I would say, just based on listening to you, the NFL is still something you want to pursue, and you're hoping you can take that next step next year to ultimately achieving that goal.
Yes, sir.
Again, we're talking to Isaiah Cetania this morning here on the Morning Rush. Isaiah, I'm going to be honest, fully disclose something. I had a bad feeling at the end of the season, and I got on the airwave. You know how you sometimes have something, the pit of your stomach and the gut? I thought you might transfer after this year. I know as a guy that dominated Arkansas high school football, and I watched you senior year. There wasn't a corner or safety or a double team in the state that could guard you. I didn't know with the coaching transition on the offensive side of the ball, how that would go. I know some guys have elected to move on from Arkansas. Did you ever at any point this offseason contemplate hitting the portal? Because I know that's more of something that guys do nowadays when it comes to that process.
I really didn't. I came here because of Coach Pittman, and, you know, I really put my trust in him. You know, we didn't have the best year last year, but the couple years before that, we've been doing some great things. And it was really hard for me my first 2 years. Like, even last year, I got to play a lot more, but I still wasn't happy with how much I played. So, you know, it's really helped me over this offseason. I've been working harder than I ever have. You know, I've been hitting the weight room, really working on my weaknesses, because I've always been a kind of a smaller receiver. So I've been trying to get bigger, work on my blocking and stuff, and have no excuses for next year.
Last thing, and again, we really appreciate you making some time this morning. Again, Isaiah's involved in the Miracles and Magic Radiothon with Arkansas Children's Northwest. When you look at this upcoming season, you mentioned that last year didn't go according to plan, maybe on the previous years or prior to you getting here at this point. What is kind of the message that you would give Arkansas fans as we're several months out from actually getting to see you guys play in Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium? But what's the mindset and mentality you guys having in the next year to improve upon what happened this past season?
You know, last year we have four wins, and I just feel like we weren't a four-win team. We lost a lot of games by, 3 points, 7 points, and we were closer than a lot of people think. We had one of the hardest schedules in the country. This is the SEC, you know. We all came to Arkansas so we can play the best. Last year wasn't a reflection of Arkansas football. We were changing it, and, you know, I can just see a difference in the guys this year. We're a lot closer as a team, and I feel like we got rid of some of the negatives and kind of the cancers in the locker room, And I feel like this year is going to be a lot better.
Are we going to see an opening kick return or a jet sweep, I guess, War Memorial Stadium against UAPB on August 31st? Can I expect that?
Yes, sir. Okay. It's going to happen.
Isaiah Cetania, really appreciate him making some time for us. Arkansas Children's Northwest, the Miracles and Magic Radiothon. You can donate now on hitthatline.com. I'm partial, obviously, to the Morning Rush if you want to donate on that tab. But halftime, Ruskin and Zach, they would love to accept your donation anyway, because what they're trying to accomplish is fulfilling the promise of every child and making them better today and healthier tomorrow. Isaiah, we really appreciate the time and appreciate you being a part of this entire fundraising event.
Thank you for having me.
All right, good stuff from Isaiah again, taking some time out of his busy week, not in spring ball just yet, but Tommy, they just, as we were talking with him about, just got classes started, and he thinks he's changing up. Maybe he's got some coaching that he wants to get into at some point.
I thought that was interesting. I thought the most interesting thing I heard was, hey, we got rid of some of the cancers in the locker room. Couldn't get him to name names?
I didn't want to press him on that.
Oh, come on.
I did. I was honest with him. I was like, I thought you were going to transfer. And he gave me a solid answer. You pin a kid to a wall like that. And I say kid because he called me sir yesterday. I was just like, gosh, that makes me feel old.
You are old now.
Yeah, I'm getting old. Hairlines are receding. Yep. A lot of things are going wrong.
Right.
But yeah, it was interesting to hear him say that. But no, I didn't want to push him.
Well, I just think that's interesting because, you know, some people have pointed the finger that direction with this basketball team. I don't recall that being a heavy part of the conversation. It's really more pointed towards coaching last year with the football season. But, you know, those are things that are oftentimes associated with a disappointing outcome for a season. Now, just simply, you know, is there addition by subtraction? Sometimes. But there's going to have to be a lot more than that to turn this football season around this year. But I thought that was maybe the most interesting comment he made out of that.
Doug in Mountain Home agrees with he texted in on the McLarty Daniel hotline. That was easily the most pressing comment. And I think for this team next year, you're still bringing in a good chunk of pieces, and you hope they mesh well, because it's not always easy, as we're seeing with this basketball team this year. Even though talent was seemingly brought in, the connection, the chemistry, and the need to, not just the want to, but the need to, what you need to do to get wins doesn't always equal translating to those said wins.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
That was a good conversation we had with Arkansas wide receiver Isaiah Cetania. If you missed any of it, it will be in our Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. And we'll also put out some other stuff from it as well. Thought he did a good job. Said it was the first time he's ever done a radio interview of any sorts. And I thought he did a good job. And talking about that, we got a text here from Alan Fort Smith saying that North Arkansas Children's Northwest saved his son's life twice, apparently. So he feels a certain type of way about Arkansas Children's Northwest. Wanted to share that with our audience this morning.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, Arkansas Children's in Little Rock and Northwest now, that's been there in more than a few years now, have so many touching and telling stories. But my dad always used to say this, and, you know, as you become a parent and get older, you understand the context and understand what he meant. You know, your kids sometimes aren't grateful for what they have or not getting what they think they need, or and it's really what they want. You can just be a brat. Let's just be honest. All you got to do is walk the halls of Children's Hospital and figure out real quick what you have to be thankful for. And it doesn't take long of walking through there and seeing some heart-touching stories and some things that'll break your heart. So we need to support them. And, you know, if you can give $5 or $50 or what or anything in between, we'd appreciate you supporting what we're behind this month.
Yep, no question. Connected is the term that has been used often in, with Arkansas basketball, and even Musselman is using it. Here's what he was talking about on courtside with Eric Musselman earlier this week.
Yeah, you know, we had the two home games, and you hope to come out of it 2-0. Obviously, we did not. We did not play hard enough didn't play connected enough.
So even the head basketball coach is using that phrase. I wonder how many times it's been uttered this season, Tommy, connected.
Well, that's a term I've heard for a few years now. It's probably been used more this year. I agree. It's become more of a term, but, you know, I've heard that in the officiating world. You got to stay connected to the play. And, you know, that phrase has been around a few years now in basketball.
No.
So, and it can be used in a variety of ways. As a defender, you got to stay connected to your opponent. So there's a lot of different things, a lot of different context to the term connected in basketball.
Arkansas is a +5.5 underdog tonight in the Pavilion. Some other stuff on the bet, Sarah Snap, include Joseph Pinion, who hasn't played a lot in SEC play. Tommy, his point over under is 2.5 and over under 1.5 of minutes played. It's +100 right now. Does Joseph Pinion score over 3 points, 1 3-pointer, and does he play over 2 minutes? I guess
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know.
Does 1.5 minutes mean 1 minute and 31 seconds?
It does.
Okay. That would be so all Joseph Pinion has to do is knock down 1 3-pointer and play 1 minute and 31 seconds, and you have
Or you could go under that.
Yeah, or you could go under that, and you have that bet at this point. But that's one of the mini bets going on right now on the Bet Saracen app with this game tonight. ESPNU, 8 o'clock, and we'll have it right here on ESPN, Arkansas, and hitthatline.com. Matt, and is it Derek or Zach tonight that's doing Hog Reaction?
I do not know.
Okay. Well,
One
of those guys will volunteer to do so with our friend Matt Jones. Saw Hudson Clark was a first-team academic All-American, not an All-American, but an academic All-American. Evidently, the Highland Park education is paying off for him at the collegiate level. Can't say the same about my education.
You think that's what it is?
I would say that in the combination of him being smart and probably putting in some work as well.
But let's be honest, all of the athletes across all the sports have every opportunity to make great grades and do a lot of good things. They have more academic support than any average student could dream of.
Yeah, no question. The tutoring sessions and whatnot. I will say that I did appreciate there was there's extra free tutoring at the U of A, which is nice. I need some help in finite math when I was in college. Ooh. And
it was anything with the word math, I'm out.
It was not fun. Last thing here, I mentioned his All-American academic honor. Landon Jackson on ESPN's list is named a way too early second-team All-American. Last year, the Texarkana native had 44 tackles, 6.5 sacks, and nearly 14 tackles for loss. So hopefully Landon has another productive season, probably their biggest returning defensive player.
Well, best returning player on the team as far as pro prospects.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
I think if we had a peek in the folder of the draft grades and who was most likely to be drafted off of last year's team, Landon Jackson be number one. I don't think it'd be close.
Yep. No, I agree with that. He'll be at SEC Media Days. I would bet a good chunk of money on that to represent this Arkansas football team. All right, that's going to do it for your Hog Update this morning. It's brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
All right, so we had a big Stanley Yeti discussion yesterday, and I'm curious, Clay Henry, if he has a Stanley, if he has a Yeti. Or if he has both, the Hall of Famer will join us in about
Styrofoam cup for Clay.
That too, which I love Styrofoam cups. But I told you about.
You hate the environment, huh?
Yeah.
You just want to fill our landfills full of Styrofoam? Is that it?
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I told people about this story yesterday of the young lady from Birmingham, Alabama, 16-year-old that had 67 Stanley cups worth about $3,000. Well, this California woman, Tommy, stole 2,500 worth of them. She had stole 65 of them in Roseville or Rossville, California. It's close to Sacramento. She apparently just took a shopping cart and filled it to the brim without paying for them.
Walked out the door, huh?
Yeah, and there was the employees kind of chased after her. She's unnamed so far. I'm just reading the story. But the Stanley again worth about $45. And
she took how many?
$2,500 worth. So 60... Where's it
2,500. She
65.
Yeah,
65 total.
Bet, yeah, yeah.
In California at this point, she was arrested for grand theft. It's a misdemeanor if it's under what $400 or something.
I don't know.
I've never calculated what I could steal and not get a severe penalty. I just heard people say that before. But again, we've got a story about a Stanley Cup or Stanley Cups. parents buying like $3,000's worth, and then we got a woman that's stealing $2,500.
There's crazy people everywhere. That's all there is. Now, I mean, my kid has a, well, both my kids have Stanley cups. So
did you ask the kiddos yesterday if they didn't? Because you showed me that picture earlier of
Abigail takes her. I don't know if they take them to school or not, because I'm always here with you. I never see what they do in the mornings, but I know she doesn't go to cheer practice without one.
Okay. So, well, it is.
I did see a story on Facebook where someone was asking for prayers for their daughter because she had forgotten her Stanley Cup and was on her way to middle school, and she was going to be left with nothing but the barren hydration of a water fountain in the halls of the middle school. So please send up a prayer today that she will survive the day at school without her Stanley Cup. So.
Well, speaking of your kids, is it that time, or are
they
already
at school?
Well,
it's still his birthday today. Hard to believe he's 14 years old today.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
So Clay, it's my understanding that you had a little fall recently. I know you shared that with your Whole Hog Sports audience, and you were telling us during the break. Are you okay, man? Are you you got any bumps and bruises we need to know about?
Yeah, I didn't hit my head. You know, I would have loved to have told you, you know, I banged my head and they took x-rays and it showed nothing. That's what
the x-rays were negative.
Yeah, well, no, they showed nothing.
Yeah.
In other words, that's what Dizzy Dean said when he got his head injury. It's like they took x-rays and they showed nothing. And I think everybody kind of assumed that with Dizzy, that that was an empty noggin. Yesterday walked down the end of my driveway. It's about, you know, it's 80 something yards long, and it was all slush around the house, and I got close to the street, and I guess, you know, there was one little patch, and it was slush until it wasn't. And I went forward and landed on my left knee, my right elbow, and my left wrist, and then I slid into the ditch.
Oh, man.
Well, there was no, I mean, it's a slanted, you know, it's a slope down the hill. It's kind of a cattywonker, you know, mouth to the driveway. I had a bag of trash, and I was going to put it in the trash bin because the trash man did not come on Monday. So I thought, well, you know, here's the moral to that story. When you got trash, just leave it on the porch. It's trash. You don't need to worry about it. And it's still there, by the way. You know, it's not, there's no longer any ice because it's rained so much in the last 24 hours. Everything's gone. But that trash, I'll just leave it until I go down there again.
Well, glad you're okay.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I didn't take a lot of Advil and some Aleve, you know, it's just some OTC stuff. And I mean, I had a productive day. I sit at my laptop and wrote two stories, and I did two interviews for stuff that I'm writing for different people. And so I got a lot done yesterday, and I just figured, you know what? I think I'm going to sit in one spot, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving. I'm not going back outside. You know, there's, you know, I've got some buddies, fly fishing buddies that are orthopedic surgeons, and they tell me that their business is heavy when there's an ice storm. You know, they do more surgeries, broken arms, broken legs, broken ribs, you know, after ice. And that's what we had here for a couple of days. And I was pretty smart. Didn't go out, ignored it all. And then, you know, I thought, well, it's over. Well, it was over except for about a 3-foot little patch right by the edge of my driveway.
And you know, generally, I've read this before, people that slip and fall on ice and get injured and break a bone or have a more severe injury, it's generally around their house because that's where we're a little less cognizant or aware. We get a little too cocky around the house because we think we're in a hurry to get in the car, hurry to get out, whatever. We're not paying as much attention as we would somewhere else and bust that hind end.
In ice and snow, I act like I'm 70 or 80 years old. I am directly.
Well, that's a good way to do it.
Directly look at my feet the entire time of where I'm walking. Like, I look ahead and make sure nothing's in front of me.
It did not. It looked like slush.
It just didn't help
him. It wasn't. No, well, it didn't. It wouldn't have mattered. I mean, I was barely moving, and boom. I mean, the only thing good is that I fell forward and could kind of break my fall so I didn't hit my head. You know, that's the real bad thing.
Well, what I hear is we need to get Clay a walker. That you know, one
I don't think
deals,
that would have helped.
You could put the trash on the walker. You can inch that thing out there, and then if you get tired,
tennis balls on the end.
Well, I mean, I think we'd get you one that's got the big wheels on it.
Yeah, there you go.
And then if you get tired, it's got the seat, and then underneath the seat, you can keep your flies.
Send me a gopher, but I'm afraid you'd send Ty.
Yeah, well, I could do that. He's available.
I'd wait on you hand and foot if you got injured, Clay. That's
call him a houseboy. He could take care of putting your slippers on your feet, getting you more Advil. Yeah, he'll be on his way as soon as it goes over.
So, like, you know, I've got all my tennis shoes are now Velcro, so I could get lace-up shoes
now.
Please
tell me that's a joke.
It is a joke, yeah.
I think I had more fun being a houseboy at a couple sorority houses in college than I did with you, Clay.
Couldn't you see Clay in some white Velcro New Balance? I can certainly picture that.
It's like you said.
Hey, it could happen.
You said yesterday, at a certain age, you just don't give a bleep about what people think, and I think Clay's definitely hit that age. Well,
yeah,
he's not old enough for white Velcro New Balance, though. So not quite yet.
Well, Clay, you
maybe Dr. Scholl's New Balance or Dr. Scholl's Velcro.
Yeah, I did spend. I will say, for the first time ever, I spent over $100 on. I went to True Grit Running Company, one of our sponsors here in ESPN Arkansas, and I they tested my feet were prorated and all this stuff. And
your feet are prorated?
These terms, what was it called?
Pronated.
Pronated,
okay.
My bad. Yeah, see, it shows you how much I know about my feet. All this terminology and stuff. And
is that kind of like being pigeon-toed?
Something
like
that.
Where your feet turn in, I believe.
So, but they got me some nice running shoes.
What kind did you get?
Shoes.
Mizuno
one is left, one is right.
Mizuno something. I just said, hey, just
all right.
Can I get some black ones?
Some Hokas? Like me and Clay are on the Hoka train.
Yeah, I've got several pair of Hokas. My favorite are the black. And if I have to speak, you know, where I dress up, I'm still going to wear my black Hokas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what people say. I mean, I bouted that plantar fasciitis for a while, and that went away with the Hokas. I mean, they're pretty dang good.
Yep, I love them. So.
Yeah. Well, as far as walking and all that, running, they may not be running shoes, but they definitely are good walking shoes.
I don't know if, again, we kind of started the segment. We started the segment with you kind of falling on your face, Clay, to a certain extent. The basketball team has done that to a certain degree through conference play. 1-4. We'll see what happens in Oxford tonight. We've had a few texts like Disson Springdale saying there's got to be something in there with the Duke win and the Purdue win, both at home. What have you seen that gives you any belief whatsoever that they can turn this team around? I'm not talking about past teams. I'm talking about this team.
Well, you'd like to think that you know, at some point they're going to, you know, they're going to start to get their defensive fundamentals down and they'll get a little better. I watched Kentucky in South Carolina last night. And, you know, of course, that's the second time in a week I've seen South Carolina, and their defense is just top notch. And it reminded me, physical, strong players in defensive stance. And, you know, you set a screen and they don't budge or they knock the screen away. You know, I mean, it's like, I just don't see this team being able to do that. They don't look strong enough. They don't look big enough, or powerful enough like that South Carolina team. The one thing that I'll say that they do have is they got some shooters, and that's what Musselman decided to go get, you know, that they they shot it so poorly last year. He wanted to fix that, and I think he just assumed that he could coach them in defense, and that, you know, that that's what he does best, and that they would round into that form. Well, that hadn't happened yet. Will it happen? I don't know, but it's, you know, guys that I thought could possibly play good defense, like Trevin Brazil. I mean, he just got, how many times did that guy just blow by him?
Yeah.
And he got too tight. You know, I mean, it's like you got to have a little bit of a cushion so that, you know, you got to be in a defensive stance. And I, you know, the one thing that I see with all these guys is they want to block shots. And
what are they, like third in the country still? Third, yeah, or fourth, but in the country in block shots?
It's to a detriment, in my opinion, that they, you know, they lose weak side defensive position because guys are coming across to block shots, leave their guy. It's not usually the guy that, you know, it's somebody beats somebody off a dribble, a weak side guy leaves his man, goes to blocks it, and he blocks it or tips it, and then his man gets the rebound and dunks it. Now, that doesn't happen every time, but that's the, you know, that's what, you know, that's the problem with getting beat off the dribble in the first place.
Yeah, that weak side, you don't have any weak side, like you're saying, even if it's tipped and you get those offensive rebounds. And that was something, so you bring up the offensive aspect. Musk got asked that by Chuck on Monday night, and he kind of redirected, we're going to go back and kind of do what we've did in the portal. But that was what I think got people so excited about this team, is last year's team couldn't throw in the ocean. They still play good defense, as we saw against Kansas in that round of 32 game. But when it came down to it, they were not a great
shooter.
Yeah, they can shoot. And so Musk kind of took that and really got out. I mean, Caleb Battle, L. Ellis, midfield, I wouldn't say as regarded as that. Davenport. I mean, you got guys out of the portal that had good percentages in college from the 3-point line. But it just hasn't trailed. Clay, why do you think it hasn't? Again, these aren't guys that couldn't previously shoot at their other colleges. Why have, I know where their defense is bad. Why is their offense not necessarily lived up
well,
to the hype to this point?
So I watch, first of all, you know, everybody in the SEC plays better defense than they play. So that's the problem. You know, South Carolina, they stayed in front of Mark. They didn't foul him. And that was the recipe for the victory over Texas A&M, is they made a few shots early, got the lead. A&M didn't make shots, and then, you know, A&M fouled. You know, they're down 20, so they played really aggressive, and, you know, they attacked defensively. Well, that led to fouling. Well, that got them 40 free throws. Well, South Carolina did not foul. I think both teams shot like 15, 16 free throws. I'm not looking at the box score. You probably got it there, Ty. But they kept Arkansas off the line and made them score the basket. They did not let Mark get an open shot. They just stayed in front of him. And I heard both the coach and their players saying that their task was to make Mark shoot over him. Well, they did the same thing to Kentucky last night. And so they're good defensively. And that's my takeaway, is watch out. South Carolina's pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's they've played some other teams that were really good defensively and didn't let them have open shots. So why aren't they getting open shots? That's the next question. Well, I watched them screen, and they don't screen very well. You know, it was late in the game, and Mitchell went up on the wing to screen for one of their guards, and he just came running in and bumped into the guy. He wasn't set. And Joe Klein immediately said, well, that's bad fundamental. And he didn't blame Mitchell. He blamed the ball handler for starting his drive before the screen was set. Well, those are, you know, those are fundamental problems. And but I don't see guys that I think are good screeners. They're playing a lot of times with three guards, sometimes with four guards. And I would tell you Brazil's a guard. He's not a power forward. He's not even a three in my mind. He plays more like a guard. He's not a good screener. His body is not strong. And I mean, whatever happened during his time of rehab, he, you know, he looks the same. He's not a big, strong dude. So, you know, they don't have any guys that I would be afraid they're going to hit me with the screen and it's going to shatter me. And everybody I see playing, they got one of those guys, yeah, or they got three or four of them. So if you're going to reconstruct this team, get some power forwards, get some threes, you get some men. And he knows that. I mean, he's, and I'm sure that he tried for some of those guys. Everybody else is trying for him too. And, you know, NIL, you know, sometimes you think you got him and then, you know, the bid changes and you don't have him.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but I'll go a step further. It's assists, too. It's the passing, because they've had either 8, 9, or 10 assists in their four SEC games, and they've only outperformed the opponent in assist one time, and that was against A&M. They're not sharing the ball, and they're not setting up their teammates for shots either.
Yeah, well, one goes with the other. You're right. Yeah, if you don't set screens, you're not open, and there's nobody to pass it to. You know, it's like they don't have an open man to pass to. They're passing because their man's on them and somebody comes and gets the ball. It's not working the ball closer to the basket. It's working the ball away from the basket. And, you know, South Carolina, they double teamed the ball and made them pass. And their rotation was so good. And I would, anybody that wants to watch really, great defense. I would say South Carolina's defense looked exactly like Houston's defense in that they were big, strong men. They doubled the ball and stopped it, and their rotations were so good that you didn't find an open shooter. You might find an open man, but he has to go away from the basket, and then there's somebody rotating immediately. So I congratulate their coaching staff for Dane Bradshaw said it last night. He says that they're not good at defense. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a nice recipe. I'm telling you, South Carolina's going to win a lot of games. Now, I'm not saying they're about to play Tennessee. Tennessee's the same way. If you want to watch a clinic on screening and cutting, watch Tennessee in their next game.
They
are. Rick Barnes is, for all his faults in the NCAA tournament, they're the team that I like to watch the most.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch them in Lexington and them in Knoxville when they take on Kentucky. And you mentioned that game last night. So Bradshaw also said South Carolina's kind of back on the college basketball scene. I mean, they did defensively, but offensively, they really play the game well together.
Who's the guy that shot he shot one, I guess the shot clock was running out about a minute
Johnson.
Ago. That was 30, wasn't
it? Yeah,
it
was. He jacked
he
it.
He shot it from the end.
Nothing
in Colonial,
but net.
Colonial Life Arena. I mean, the end. And that's pretty close to half court.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, that was as close to Al Dillard range as anything I've seen. And, I mean, the net didn't move.
It was off the dribble, too, which was pretty impressive. Now, we were talking about Trevin Brazil. I had this note down. Do you pull him out of the starting lineup? I know he went to the tip every time. But he had 3 points in his last game. You just haven't seen maybe the same player. Maybe we overestimated his ability with the guys he was playing around last year. I had two different kind of scenarios I was looking at. Either you pull him out of the starting lineup tonight, or you play him with Chandler Lawson and Makai Mitchell, because you mentioned him being more of a guard than he is a power forward. I think him at the three might actually do some good when you have a 6'10", 6'8", and 6'10", because they've gotten pounded on the glass, Clay. Is that are either of those scenarios something you could see Muss doing tonight?
I'm not going to say he shouldn't do that, because I don't know, and I don't think he knows, and that's the problem, because it doesn't look like there's something obvious, but that is an option. When you're building a lineup, you do one of two things. One, you look at, okay, how can I get my offense going? Or how can I get my defense going? And if you think that Brazil's going to cover a three and keep him from driving to the basket, well, you can play him there. I'm not sure he can. I mean, the blow-bys that I've seen with him are with the power forward. What are you going to? What's he going to do with the guy that's more skilled with the basketball? I don't know. There's nothing that I see that I say that's the answer. I just don't.
Yeah, and I think basing the next game's lineup off the previous game is dangerous. I think these long 3-hour practices probably have more to do with formulating the next lineup than the past.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.